I'm speaking with David Korovar, who is professor of piano and distinguished professor at the University of Colorado Boulder. He is hailed for his wonderfully warm, pliant, and spontaneous playing by the Washington Post. He is a passionate and committed collaborator, and he's the founding member of the Boulder Piano Quartet, currently in residence at the Academy in Boulder. He has worked with the New York Philharmonic Ensemble's violinist Chaz Weatherby. As a matter of fact, we'll hear a little bit more about Chaz later in the interview. Anna Kiko Myers, Vadim Glusman, Chi Yun, Harumi Rhodes, Edward Dusenbear, Emmy Oresnik, and Philip Quint, and many, many others. He's had over 40 titles as part of his extensive discography. Today we have an opportunity to find out about this brand new CD on the Da Vinci Classics, which features a world premiere recording, the music of Luigi Paracchio, and also the first quintet in F major of Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco. David Korovar, thanks for joining me this morning.
Well, thanks so much.
In listening to this, the piano just comes in amazingly sort of agitato. I believe that's the, agitissimo ma ampio. And then the rest of the quartet joins you. It's just like this amazing piece for the piano.
Yeah, I mean, the piano quintet repertoire, of course, is filled with amazing pieces for the piano. So it sort of becomes the expectation, right? You're always busy and always have much to do. His use of the ensemble is wonderful. I mean, the opening movement, yes, it has that texture at the beginning with this incredible sort of piano rumbling going on, and then the unison string passage that comes in, very dramatic. But then the level of contrast that he gets throughout the piece and the way he uses the strings also to create texture all the way through is, I think, really quite original. I think the orchestration with the quintet is, you know, like no other piece. The material itself, which is filled with references both to things like, you know, French romantic music. One could certainly hear shades of César Franck or Gabriel Fauré in this, but also to Piedmontese folk music, which was a lifelong interest of his as a Turinese composer. The third and fourth movements in particular have a wonderful kind of folk music-y sense to them, to my ear.
The music itself sounds, there is the folk music quality to it, but it also sounds very contemporary. I'm surprised that this piece is over 100 years old.
Yeah, so, I mean, we think 1919, of course, is in terms of countries like Austria, you'd be looking at composers like Schoenberg, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of in high modernism there, but style at this point. And in France, we have the beginnings of Les Six, and of course, Stravinsky is his post-World War I phase, and neoclassicism and whatnot. So this piece, I think, fits into that continuum, but with a very distinctly Italian sort of post-romantic voice to it, at a time when Italian instrumental music was really having a period of just amazing activity. There's a lot of great Italian music from this period, very little of which really gets played very much now. Italy was known for opera and is sort of internationally. So this rise of instrumental music is something I think that bears much more investigation.
Mm-hmm. I think of all the opera houses in Italy, and I wonder where something like this might have been performed.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. What we do know is that Luigi Paracchio actually ran a new music group in Turin. It was called the Double Quintet of Turin, and commissioned a lot of new music for that group. I could imagine a piece like this showing up on one of those programs, although in terms of what's been available to me to find, I have not found mention of it.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly are pieces that we know of that were played on that by various composers of the time. But he was known as a proponent of new music in Turin in those years.
Wow. I'm just astonished at this piece. And I've spent the morning listening to this brand new CD. And I've had such a great time because, like I said, I never heard anything like it.
Right. Well, it's wonderful music. And I think, you know, it also makes a very nice contrast to the Castelnuovo Tedesco First Quintet, a work which was published but had gone out of print, actually. And I think there may be a couple of other recordings out there of it, but it was really wonderful also to sort of discover or rediscover this piece, which is a little later than the Paracchio. The Paracchio is from 1919, I believe, and then the Castelnuovo Tedesco is from the early 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that, of course, you have all these things in the library of his guitar music, which is quite well known.
Right.
But, of course, before he met Andres Segovia, he hadn't even really thought of writing for guitar. And he was known as a composer of piano music, instrumental music, symphonic music, and had written quite a bit. So this piano quintet comes right about the time he met Segovia, actually. So it's sort of just before he's going to become sort of this international figure because of that relationship. But this piece, I think, really is representative of what he was doing in the realm of instrumental music at this point. You know, like Paracchio, he was interested in Italian music, but somewhat more broadly. He had written a wonderful piano piece called Pie di Grotto, which was based on Neapolitan material. He himself was from Florence, and I think we do hear some of that kind of sound in the music. And also we hear in his music his own Jewish background. There's material, especially in the last one of his quintet, that has a very Sephardic feel to it.
Right.
So a lot of influences that are coming to bear. And then overall, he writes in a sort of typically post-romantic vein with using fairly conventional structures and a very theatrical sort of sense of color, of orchestration, and also of sweep in his music.
Yeah, it's really, I just fell in love with it. How long is this your first collaboration with the Carpe Diem String Quartet?
So there's a bit of a story there, and you had mentioned Chaz Weatherby at the top of this, and Chaz unfortunately passed away a little more than a year ago, and
mm-hmm.
he had been the founder and first violinist of Carpe Diem Quartet, and this project was supposed to be done with Chaz. It was something we had been talking about for quite a while, but as his health was deteriorating, he had less energy to do these things. And after he passed, the remaining members of the quartet and I felt that this would really be a wonderful kind of tribute to Chaz to complete this project.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought in Amy Galuzzo, who had actually been a former second violinist in the quartet, to play first violin on this recording. And for that, in that way, it was a really, you know, a sort of a labor of love for all of us. And the recording is dedicated to Chaz's memory.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of answers your question.
Right.
I'd worked with Chaz a lot over the years, and I'd only performed a couple of times with the quartet. This was a wonderful, a really amazing collaboration, and getting this project to completion was really something very, yeah, very special, very,
right,
very heartfelt from all of us.
Absolutely. And, you know, music moves one so well, and then to have the backstory behind it with Chaz and the other members of the Carpe Diem String Quartet seize the day, and indeed you have with this beautiful recording. You said that you found this piece in a library, I believe. What were the clues? What led you there?
Well, so I mean, there's the long story. I don't know which goes back to when I first arrived at the University of Colorado in 2000, and shortly thereafter started investigating the scores in our library that had come from the library of the Spanish Catalan pianist Ricardo Vignes, who had been one of the most important new music pianists in Paris in the early 20th century. A number of Debussy's and Ravel's most important works were written for Vignes, and he gave the premieres of, you know, pieces like Ravel's Miroir and Gaspard de la Nuit,
wow.
And of Debussy's two books of Images, Lille Joyeuse. So he's associated very much with those composers. And Peracchio came to Paris during this period and clearly had met Vignes, and he wrote this set of nine little poems, Novet Pormetti, one of which he dedicated to Vignes. And the result is that Vignes actually had a copy of the whole set, which, from what I can see, is probably the only copy in a library anywhere in the world. So I was very lucky to find that. It's wonderful music. And that turned me on to Peracchio, so then I did some investigating. And there isn't a lot of material out there, but I did find mentions of various works, a very few of which were published. Most of his stuff was not published. He suffered from excessive modesty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some evidence of that in various articles that appeared during his lifetime. But I did know from dictionary articles that of a number of pieces that I was interested in trying to find, and did find, in fact, a number of far more than the quintet when I went to tour. And I have all kinds of pieces I'd like to investigate that I obtained scores of there. But the quintet was kind of the top priority for me, as I just from looking at the score, I was really excited by it. And as I said earlier, I prepared an edition of it, which was put out by actually the same company, Da Vinci, which also is a publishing house.
In looking up Luigi Peracchio, there really isn't very much, even on the internet, about him.
Right.
So it's, you know, the fact that you have found this, and then you have other pieces. Do you have plans to record these or create editions of the music?
Long term, probably yes. Right now, I'm in the midst of recording all the Beethoven piano sonatas, which is sort of fully occupying my attention.
Yes.
Aside from all the other things I'm doing, so other things are kind of waiting. This is the Beethoven project is a sort of leftover from 2020,
mm-hmm.
When during the lockdowns I did a sort of online presentation of all the sonatas, just very sort of dirty videos, because in those days we had no piano tuners. We had very little option to do any kind of good production.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up doing these sort of home recordings of all the Beethoven sonatas. And in a way, this is kind of my redemption act here, is to actually do a proper studio recording of all of the Beethovens. So that's kind of what I'm in the midst of right now.
That's why your name sounds familiar to me, because we were introduced to so many different things and people making music because they just had to make music. And I was like, why does this name sound so familiar? So now I understand. You're putting those Beethoven recordings out there during the pandemic, but now having the opportunity to record all of them, that is a massive project.
Yeah. So I'm probably about halfway through it in terms of what's been going on in the studio, and there's plenty of post-production editing work that needs to happen before that's complete. I'm sort of hoping that about a year from now I can get that all released.
And will that be on the Da Vinci Classics again also?
That's actually pending right now. I have to
figure
out kind of what the distribution situation is going to be. I'm kind of seizing the moment because I have access to a piano and a hall and an engineer, and just getting that part of it done.
I was just wondering about where are you recording and what kind of piano are you using?
So I'm, you know, one of the wonderful things about being at a great university is that you do have access to facilities. So we have a wonderful, actually, new recital hall, which opened in 2020, which I'm using for this project at the University of Colorado. And Kauai USA was kind enough to basically send us a Shigeru Kauai concert grant for that project, which is currently living in our recital hall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the situation.
Wow, that's great. Well, I was going to ask what's happening in the future for you, but I think you're all sort of planned out, at least for the moment.
Yeah, there's plenty going on. There's plenty more beyond that. But,
right.
That's the big project right now.
Well, you are incredibly active. You've been out there for many years. And retirement? Will there ever be retirement for you? I think you're going to be busy till your last breath.
Well, I'll do my best to stay to keep going. You know,
it's
what we do as musicians, right?
It's so true. Well, I can't thank you enough for taking a little bit of your time today and talking about these great recordings, Luigi Paracchio and Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, the piano quintets, and a world premiere recording with David Cordovar and the Carpe Diem String Quartet. And this has been released on the Da Vinci Classics. It's getting great reviews. Congratulations.
Well, thanks so much. And I'm really glad that you've listened to it and enjoyed the music as much as I would hope anybody would. So I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. And we'll be playing it on the air here at WQED-FM in Pittsburgh.
Great. I'm very happy to hear that.
Pianist David Cordovar with a brand new CD on the Da Vinci Classics featuring music of Luigi Paracchio and Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco. Hear the complete interview on our Voice of the Arts podcast page at Classical WQED-FM.